The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Now, could you hear it when I said to start the recording?
Yeah, it said recording conversation.
Boy, you almost do that better than they do.
You know, I actually do a recording bits like that in my spare time for extra spending money.
Now, you've been involved with voiceover IP for years.
You know, I started ZipPhone a couple years ago because I thought it was, you know, besides music, I thought it was the next huge disruptive space that was going to go through a radical fundamental change. So I jumped into it.
But we really didn't hear about Gizmo Project up until recently.
Yeah, that's true. And that's because when I started ZipPhone, I mean, I really liked the open standard ZIP, and I thought that that held the most promise, and that's, of course, why I named the company ZipPhone. But I assumed that there was going to be a lot of great software, you know, VoIP clients out there. And so what I decided to focus on was the hardware side of things. So we worked on something called Plug and Dial, which you can go read about at pluganddial.com, to try to get the routers and the adapters of the world to all be standardized and do what's called provisioning, and that means account setup in telecom language. And so we spent a lot of time in the hardware. Well, much to our surprise, with the exception of Skype, nobody, I thought, did a good job on the software. And by did a good job, I mean, you know, made the quality sound good, you know, traverse NATs and firewalls well, easy to use, and things like that. And so I was quite frustrated. And so about, 9 months ago, we decided, hey, you know, we have to go build the software. We can't rely on other people. You know, because our goal was just to build a directory and let the software clients all connect to a directory, and we would let anyone use our directory. But it turns out that we had to go and build the software piece as well. And so that's what we decided to do, and that's what led to Gizmo Project.
So it's Gizmo Project, not Project Gizmo.
That's right, Gizmo Project. It was kind of a temporary name, and we didn't come up with anything better, so we just said, well, let's go live with Gizmo Project, and we'll see what our users come up with.
So are you aiming to knock Skype out of the running?
Well, I don't think you're going to knock Skype out of the running. I think there is room for a couple players here. I do hope that, you know, our embracing of open standards and openness and open directory, I hope will win the day in the long run. But, you know, Skype has a huge lead, and so I don't think you can knock Skype out. But I will say that, you know, the world changes. It changes very quickly. You know, when I started MP3.com, Real Networks was the king of digital music. And they, you know, largely are marginalized now. So things can change. We'll have to see how that plays out.
But your Gizmo Project isn't necessarily an instant messaging application. It's specifically for vocal conversations at this point.
Right. We will be adding instant messaging functionality into our product as well.
What about video?
We haven't started working on it. You know, I think video is a curious thing. It's a wonderful novelty, but I don't know if people are really going to use it. I mean, because people have been talking about it for so long. Do you use video, Chris?
Only when forced.
Yeah, you see, so I don't know. So, you know, hey, it's fairly straightforward to add video. The protocol has all the framework for setting up video sessions as well, so it's a fairly straightforward thing to do. But I think instant messaging is the next big feature set that we're adding.
Okay. So then it's recording it right now. How do I know that it's actually recording instead of just saying it's recording?
Well, I guess we should flash that little record button, shouldn't we?
Well, no, it says it's recording. I've got the little red eye thing going on.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually saving a file, but how do I know it's taking what I'm saying and actually recording it? What if it's set on the wrong input, so to speak?
Yeah, we've never had that problem. You know, I guess you could do a test call, I guess, to figure it out.
I was just curious. I mean, I'd assume that the application would make all that automatic. That's one thing that Skype, I believe, is really missing, is that instant auto record feature.
Right. It's been one of the very popular features. You know, podcasters have really liked it and used it for podcasts. And we have a new feature coming out this week, which allows you to add sound effects while the call is happening.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of like a little DJ, you know? It's going to be one of those things that's going to be pretty interesting to see how users take advantage of that. You know, it's very funny. You can add wacky things and, you know, like pretend like you're typing on the keyboard. You can just have a lot of fun with that. So we're going to be adding sound effects here with versions that come out this week, I believe.
You know, Michael, so many podcasts out there suck to begin with. Did you really have to add sound effects? I mean, really?
Hey, maybe they'll drown out the suckiness a little bit.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I suppose different strokes for different folks. If it works, it works. That's one feature that I think I would use the least if I were to use this. So you've got a client here. It's a desktop client. Does it interface at all with hardware in any way?
Yeah. Well, because we're SIP-based, people can go buy a D-Link router today that has SIP built in, plug it in, and use a regular phone to call any Gizmo client anywhere in the world and vice versa. That's one example. The same with adapters that are out there. If they go to siphardware.com, you can see a big list of that. And that's one of the powers of an open standard, right? The hardware exists today for Wi-Fi SIP devices, for adapters, for routers, and even connecting to different universities and other phone networks.
Yeah.
We have connected our network to university networks as well as to the Asterix Dundee network. So there are quite a few small companies, businesses, universities that you can now dial directly to using Gizmo, UCLA, UC San Diego, University of Philippines, etc. So our goal is to interconnect the world and to have a very openness with our directory, and that includes, of course, hardware. Anything that talks SIP, you know, we're going to be happy to talk to.
So how long do you think that's going to take before more people have these kinds of clients installed on their system?
Well, I think we're just in the very earliest days of VoIP. You know, in fact, I went and I talked to 2 weeks ago, I talked to a major telephone company, and I said, hey, you know what, VoIP is really taking off on the internet. And it was funny because they said, you know what, we just don't see the average consumer making calls from their PC. And I had a little flashback moment to when I ran mp3.com and I went and visited with the major record labels in the early days of mp3, and I said, hey, man, you won't believe what people are doing with their computer. You know, they're downloading music, they're organizing music, and playing it on their computer. And their reaction was exactly the same. They said, you know what? We really don't see the average person, you know, listening to music on their computer. So I'm betting that in a few years from now, you know, the majority of internet users will be doing voice over IP instead of the small minority that it is today.
It seems that we've come so far in just so little time with just digital music, and now we're talking about using the internet to place phone calls. It's a frustration that I currently have with a lot of cell phone carriers who are out there. I hate all of them, every single one of them. They either cripple their phones or their service sucks, they're overpriced, et cetera, et cetera. Is there going to be a point where we're not going to need to rely on carriers or necessarily cell phones that are co-branded with a certain carrier's name?
Well, I think that the only hope there is WiMAX. You know, I think that's the only technology on the immediate horizon that I think can fundamentally change how, you know, I should say fundamentally compete with the wireless guys in a very different method. And so I think we're going to have to watch how WiMAX develops and see if that technology delivers on the promise of, you know, wide-scale, you know, wireless access. And I just don't know the answer to that. I mean, I hope it does because I think the competition would be great, but I don't know.
So in theory, we could buy a WiMAX or a Wi-Fi-enabled phone and, you know, be in a situation where we've got access to the Internet and then make the call using whatever software is enabled on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's definitely the world that I want. I mean, that's what we're trying to build with SipPhone. That's why we're trying to build with PlugAndDial.com. This is a small piece of software that the hardware manufacturers build into their firmware so that when you take that device home from CompUSA, you turn it on, it immediately has a dial tone that's free. There's no monthly fee and allows you to start calling. That's the vision of the world that I have that we're trying to make a reality.
Yeah, but do you think the carriers are really going to let that happen?
Well, I think it's, you don't need the carriers to let that happen as long as you're fully leveraging the Internet. So, Singular may or may not be excited about that, but if I have a device that's Wi-Fi or WiMAX and turns on and sniffs out the local Internet connection point, it doesn't have to get permission from Singular.
So, in theory, what we could have is a situation where at like 5 o'clock at night, where everybody rushes home and they're on their way home and they're making their phone calls, no one can get through? Will it flood the network?
Well, I mean, I think it's a question of WiMAX. Are you asking if it will flood the wireless access points? I think that's a question of how dense the access points are, and how many there are. No different than the problem you have today when everybody drives home and your calls get dropped at, 5:30 p.m., when everyone's trying to use it. So I think that, the promise of WiMAX is that it should be very low cost to deploy access points, much lower cost than what we see today with base stations, that cellular guys are required to build.
Really? I didn't realize it was that much of a difference in cost.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, WiMAX is going to be much closer to setting up a Wi-Fi network. It's just using different, slightly different technology and perhaps some different frequencies.
But it's still, it's the Internet, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a cell phone or do you rely only on your SIP device?
No, I do have a cell phone because, we don't have wireless, internet access while I'm driving home yet, but we will, and when we do, you can, rely purely on IP calling.
Do you think it's just...
The challenge is not the internet. The internet itself is quite robust, as you can tell from our call right now, which is quite good quality. The problem is not the internet. The internet has more than enough capacity. Voice calls are relatively small. So that's not the limit is not on the internet side. It's really on the wireless connectivity side.
It's a bandwidth thing.
Well, only on the wireless access points. Once you're on the internet, once you're connected to the internet, shoving a telephone call through is a relatively small thing to do.
How long do you give Microsoft, AOL, Yahoo? Because it seems they have the voice features already built in, and in many cases video features, built into their IM clients. How long is it going to take before we have another proprietary format war?
Well, that's a good question. You've got several examples today. Apple's iChat, they bastardized SIP, so they're not and it shouldn't surprise anybody because Apple, doesn't want to play nicely with others. But Apple's with their iChat, they've taken SIP and they've modified it enough that it doesn't work with anybody else. Microsoft and their Windows Messenger actually does use SIP. And so I think that's a positive step, probably somewhat surprising. Given Microsoft's history. But what Windows Messenger doesn't do, which is really critical, is a lot of the technical details required to traverse NATs and firewalls, and also Microsoft hasn't yet deployed any of the more sophisticated codecs like Skype has and like Gizmo Project has. So what I mean by that is that Skype and Gizmo Project both have something called GIPS in it. And GIPS is a very sophisticated set of compression formats which handle, you know, network dropouts and jitter and those sorts of network interference issues very well and keep a very high quality call. Microsoft hasn't really built any of that into their Windows Messenger. So that's why they're a laggard, I think, and no one is really using Windows Messenger to make calls.
Is it laziness, or they just don't see the writing on the wall?
Well, I don't know what it is. I mean, it astounds me, to be honest, Chris, that, you know, more people haven't looked at Skype, who has done a terrific job of you know, building version one and showing people how to do it. And so it kind of surprises me that more people haven't tried to replicate Skype and follow a lot of their design choices. You know, like using GIPS and to make things work well.
So GIP is it's a codec?
Yeah, GIPS.
GIPS. G-I-P-S?
That's right.
Do you know what it stands for? Or does it stand for anything, I should ask?
Oh, I'm sure it does. You know,
super technical.
Yeah, my brain can't handle acronyms.
this early in the morning, I'd assume.
That's
so
right.
you've got several projects, not just the Gizmo project. You've also got Linspire. How's that doing?
Well, Linspire is doing really great. You know, we've been at this now for about 4 years. We've spent, you know, nearly $25 million, actually near $30 million, trying to make Linux usable by average people. And it's not an easy thing to do. Think about how, you know, long it took AOL to make the Internet, you know, just dialing up. Usable, and we're trying to make an entire operating system usable. But we've made terrific progress. We're signing up new retail partners as well. You know, one of the big challenges with a Linux operating system is that people don't buy an operating system; they buy a computer. And so you can't just build an operating system and say I'm done. You then have to go and build the whole channel. You have to sign up the OEMs, the computer manufacturers, the distributors, the retailers, and get them to, you know, pre-build those computers so that people can buy a computer ready to go. You have to convince them to stock it on their store shelves. And you also have to train the personnel. It's not enough just to carry your computers. You know, we have done a few deals with retailers, and then after we announced the deals, we would go in as a secret shopper and see what the salesman said. And what turned out to be is that the salesman would say, well, you know, Linux doesn't work with any printers or something to that effect, which is clearly wrong, but they would steer customers away from the Linspire computer. And so what we realized is that you also have to educate that sales staff and provide marketing literature and this just takes a lot of work. And so we're making great progress, but it is a very big job.
Gizmo Project doesn't actually have a Linux client yet.
No, it'll come out this month, August.
So why wouldn't you have waited to let it be kind of a Linux exclusive at first instead of releasing the OS X and Windows client?
Well, I think, you know, you have to be pragmatic about the realities of the world that we live in. And the realities of the world that we live in, you know, indicate that Microsoft has, you know, 94-95% market share. You know, I think as much as I wish that was not the case, it is the case. And so SipPhone is a separate company from Linspire, and they have to make decisions which are best for their business. So we will have a Linux version out this month, but, you know, since we had the beta version ready for Microsoft Windows, we pushed that out as well as for OS X.
Now, is the SipPhone company, is it using Gizmo Project as a replacement for voicemail?
Yeah, well, of course, everyone in our company runs it, and everyone who uses Gizmo Project does get free voicemail included in their account. This is another differentiation from Skype, who charges for voicemail. So it's very handy to receive.
Oh, wait, you don't charge for voicemail?
We don't charge for voicemail. That's included in your free account, but Skype does charge for voicemail.
Wow. I'm surprised that doesn't have more people flocking to you in droves.
Yeah, so, I mean, we do have some advantages. I mean, I think if we tick through the advantages that Gizmo Project has over Skype, recording the call is a big one for a lot of users. Voicemail is a big one. We're not pure P2P like Skype, and that's actually an advantage because that means that we never commandeer your bandwidth or processor cycles on your computer to route other people's calls, which Skype does.
Oh.
And so sometimes people have noticed that, wow, my computer's slow, or Skype is taking a lot of my processing on my machine, and that's because Skype is using, you know, other people's machines to route calls. And we have chosen a slightly different network topography where we actually have deployed relay servers, if you will, around the world. So there's our centralized servers in San Diego, but then there's also different relay servers planted in various data centers around the world to assist in the routing of calls. So we never use a person's computer without their for other person's calls, only for their own calls.
And that's nice. Those are outstanding reasons that clearly separate you from Skype, which, you know, I guess in most of the world's opinion is really the competition at this point to Gizmo Project.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And listen, Skype has done a great job, you know, and we have a lot of catching up to do. But remember, it's still very early in the time period. And also, Skype is a good marketer, but they do inflate their download numbers. I can give you an example of that, is that when there's a new version of Skype, they put up an alert and force you to the download page to re-download it. So every time there's a new download, a new version, they force their users to upload, to download, and then they say, wow, look, we had more downloads. Gizmo Project, on the other hand, it has an auto-updating feature built right in. So every
it was great. It was unobtrusive. It was excellent.
Right. Every time you launch a software, it'll say, hey, there's a new version. Would you like to get it, yes or no? If you click yes, and it quietly gets it and launches it, and you're ready to go. And so Skype does have, you know, 100 million plus downloads. I mean, I do believe those numbers, but they don't have 100 million plus users. I think that number is widely inflated. I mean, it's still a big number, don't get me wrong, but it's still a small number of the percentage of the Internet. But we've got a lot of catching up to do. You know, we're still in the beta period, still, you know, working through little gitches and gotchas here, still adding some functionality, like the sound effects that we talked about earlier,
which
our earlier testers are saying is really a lot of fun. But, you know, we've got some catching up to do, but I do think that if we get with the right partner or two to help let the world know that our software is out there and what Gizmo can do, then I think we'll close the gap very quickly.
What about the UI?
Well, I think, you know, the challenge of the UI is trying to come up with a user interface. I think there's a battle happening right now between voice and instant messaging. You know, and what I mean by that is that if you just bolt voice into instant messaging, it doesn't seem to grab people. You know, it seems to be an afterthought and doesn't really work very well. And I think that might be somewhat true of the other way around, too. If you have a primary voice application, and then you try to bolt instant messaging on, it really is a challenge. How do you balance these two fairly different functionality? And I think that's the challenge that we're working with right now, is how do we have a great client that does voice, you know, well, but also allows instant messaging and certain things like, you know, sending sound effects and things like that. How do you do that? It's, you know, there isn't a good, you know, there isn't a product out there that does, you know, sound effects during a call. So we're going to have to make up a lot of this and, you know, listen to our users and hopefully, you know, let them guide us to a good spot.
Why not rebrand a Gizmo Project as something that is going to catch the ears and eyes of podcasters?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's a good question. You know, so if you've got a good domain name, let us know. You know, it's like people go, we say, we need a new name for Gizmo Project. And so we get all these names, and of course, all the domains are taken, and sometimes people would would say, I've got a great name, and I just happen to own the domain that I'll sell to you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Exactly. So, you know, naming a product now is not an easy thing to do because, you know, any, you know, common name or common two words is for sure taken. You really have to get pretty abstract to find a domain name that's available. You know, forget the trademark. You know, that's the easy part. Can you get the domain name? That's the much harder thing. So it's not easy naming products anymore.
So you don't want to go with a .info or a .net. You got to go with the .com.
Well, I think that not necessarily, but if you go with a product, if you go with a company or a product name that is .com and resolved someplace else, you know, it's harder to get people to end up at the right place.
What about making something called Sipowicz? And what it could be a skin like Dennis Franz, and he could sit on your screen. That way, he's your personal agent to all the calls. You could have your very own Dennis Franz right there on the screen.
There you go, Sipowicz. Hey, buddy, NYPD is over. Get over it, buddy. NYPD Blue is done.
Do you want me to show you my butt? All right, maybe not. No, it would certainly make an interesting skin, that's for sure.
Sure, absolutely.
You've got a buddy icon. It's a basketball. Is there a reason for that? You just felt like you needed to put something there and you didn't want to go with any other kind of icon?
Well, you know, I'm one of these poor, you know, not so tall white guys who was not so skilled but loves basketball. I'm sure everyone knows a few of us and a few of them. And so I like to play basketball, just pick up basketball with, some friends. And so it's a little passion of mine. I once offered a Steve Ballmer to play a game of basketball, and the winner gets the rights to the word Windows.
Give it up for me!
He didn't take me up on that one, though, right?
I'd imagine not. Michael Robertson, I know your time is very limited, so I'll let you go. But thank you so much for demonstrating exactly what Gizmo Project can do.
All right. Nice talking to you, Chris.
The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.